Dear friends, Charles Dickens' novel Great Expectations had the main character Pip as a young boy adopted into a blacksmith family. And boy, was he cruising high. He felt he had good luck and great expectations until he lost both. And you know, it was a commentary on England's upcoming desires. They were a wealthy nation, and the industrial age had promised that the factories would produce more, and the inventions were going to make life safe and secure. And yet, in the midst of all that, the average worker still had not recognized any of the promises of the new generation. Now, doesn't that sound familiar in our present pandemic panic? Much of our life is not in our control. And as a result, when we try to force it, we end up in a daze. Here we are, a mere 11 days after the ultimate event of human history, the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, the conquering event and the celebration. And yet, how long does it take to sap our joy? Let the light of Easter expectation lift your fog. Luke 24 takes us back to Easter Sunday afternoon. For the disciples, it had been a chaotic whirlwind week. On Monday, Jesus had entered Jerusalem with great acclaim, "Hosanna, Son of David." Tuesday through Wednesday, he was teaching at the colonnade back at Bethany and back and forth with large groups of disciples. By Thursday, they were preparing for the Passover in the upper room, and as soon as he sat down, he got real serious. He gave the command, "Love as I have loved you," and the disciples began to realize the winds were shifting. Indeed, they were. Within a few mere hours, everything seemed to have changed, and he was betrayed, arrested, he was condemned, crucified, and buried. And you know that it was the most difficult thing then for them to come back into their orientation. Easter morning seemed to be confusing. It was the women going to the tomb, finding an angel and not really understanding. Peter ran to the tomb and he found the grave clothes, but where's the body? And now these two, Cleopas and his friend, confused and sad, at the end of Sunday, were headed home. Home to Emmaus in a daze. What would you say is the most important detail of the story? It's that Jesus came to talk to them. In fact, Jesus now had a glorified body. Could they even recognize him? Or imagine that you had just left the burial site of a beloved one. Who would you expect least of all to be driving you home? Truly, they did not think it possible that this could be Jesus. And another question, why did Jesus do this to them? Couldn't he just have revealed himself immediately? Why did he wait? In fact, why does he wait for our prayers? Why doesn't he immediately give us, if he loves us, what we want? You know, the truth is, we should thank Jesus for not living up to human expectations. In fact, humans expect God to stay in heaven, and he comes down to lay in a manger in Bethlehem. Human beings expect that God will offer favor to the good, to the rich, to the powerful. And yet, he seems to prefer the poor and lowly on the streets of Jerusalem. You know, human expectation is that God is going to give us what we deserve. And in fact, he does not at all. He gives Jesus what he didn't deserve. And then finally, humans expect dead people to stay dead. And that was not what happened on Easter. He came back alive. He conquered death. And don't you see how the promise to redeem Israel was unfolding? The disciples said, "We had hoped that he was going to do it, and here he was, already having accomplished it." Oh, how amazing the story would be when they looked back. And you know, that's the first thing we learn here, is that on the road to Emmaus, human expectations lead to sadness now and eternally. Listen to the last words of the text. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. A second lesson is that the promises of Scripture are better than anything we could expect. And that's actually where we should be looking for Jesus. When he heard their hopeless story, he kindly corrected them. "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was in all the scriptures concerning himself." You know, did these two disciples expect what the rest of the Jews were looking for, a revolutionary Messiah? Did they think that there was going to be a kingdom on earth, dominance over the Romans, and they would miss it all? You see, what they were lacking was not visible proof of the resurrection. They were lacking faith. Faith does not need to see and touch. Remember how he talked last week with Thomas? But it needs to hold on to God's promises. And that's exactly how Jesus rekindled their faith. He took them back to the scriptures. He walked the way through on the promises. And about the time they would have clung to him, he disappears. He points them back to the word. Have you ever felt in just these days or over the past year, sad, depressed, downcast? The psalmist says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul?" Well, is it because Jesus didn't rise from the grave? No, there's too many witnesses. That is proven. Is it because you have sinned and fallen into a trap? But the word says the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Is it because you've grown frustrated with the people around you? Well, perhaps. Maybe your life has taken a turn you can't control. Yes, that can happen. And yet, perhaps it's more that we are slow of heart. Slow of heart, like these disciples. That's what Jesus said. Or worse, that we don't know our Bible well enough to know what the prophets had said. Bingo. You see, their viewpoint lacked a spiritual dimension. When you hear Cleopas recount it, there's no evidence of divine intervention. He forgot that point. Secondly, his own agenda determined the outcome. They were looking for the glory of old Israel renewed and not what God had in store for them. And they failed to acknowledge the resurrection. If they had truly believed, they would have been walking towards Jerusalem, not going back home. And they would have understood that his death and his burial were fulfillment of all that the scriptures had said. Charles Dickens was on to something. Reality regularly dashes our expectations. But then doesn't it open us up for the light of the word and the wind of the Holy Spirit? My pastor friend said it while we were on a Zoom meeting. And so I'll repeat what I learned from him. The fog they were in was going to lift as the light came up of Easter's new day and as the wind of the Holy Spirit would drive it away. Easter had already come for Jesus, and it is still ahead for us. And that expectation, that great expectation, changes everything, doesn't it? The wind dispels the fog, and the light lifts our hearts. No more unbelief, because we know and we can feel it burning within us. This is an expectation that can only be called Easter. Amen.